Talk a bit about a letter that I received yesterday when we talked about disabled veteran in Bahia Doan. We talked about the incoming soldiers. They're here now. There are 11 of them in the program if you were listening this time yesterday. And I got a letter that says, I don't say this enough. I'm a life member, DAV and vets, and I appreciate all the things you do for us vets. Chuck Schreier and the DAV, the lovely Admiral Brown and honor flights in Bahia Doan, disabled vet, the parade, Veterans Day and citations, the overseas serving veterans, eating sand, burning sun, incoming fire or not, being hyper alert takes its toll on energy and worms itself into a 1,000-yard stare. Buddies wounded, dead, or even them wounded, all come back with them stored, creeping out from time to time. He's talking about, of course, the PTSD. And went on to say, Christmas overseas sucks. Please give a shout-out to our military on the border, stateside, or overseas. A most heartfelt thank from a 100% disabled vet. Thank you, Joe, from Carterville. And, Joe, thank you and for your service in writing that, taking the time to write that letter yesterday and send it in. 823, Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant. Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm good, Tom, and thank you for what you just said. You know, next week is Goose Hunt for Heroes also down at Grassy Hunt Club in Jonesboro. So it's a lot of great things that go on around here for our veterans, and I really do appreciate all that they do. My brother is a retired lieutenant colonel from the Air Force, and my sister's still serving in the reserves in Texas.
Yeah, and hoorah for heroes in Franklin County.
Yep.
And probably somewhere they're doing a hunt right now. To be honest,
probably.
With you. Probably are. Hey, the fall veto session takeaways. And before we get into specific subjects, when I ask about your takeaway, I'm wondering how people seem to be, we'll call it, emotionally predisposed after this last election and the incoming supermajority in the House and the Senate, all state offices. I mean, could you tell that there was a tone difference in people, how they acted?
There was a tone difference, but not really what you would expect, with the exception of the really bad situation that happened between Representatives Kifowit and Breen. For the most part, everyone kind of came back saying, can we get beyond, you know, where we've been for the fighting for the last 4 years? But then I don't know if the listeners really saw everything that went on in regard to Representative Kifowit talking about, you know, cooking up a brew of poison, basically, and then feeding it to the Breen family. And, of course, Representative Peter Breen got very upset and emotional, as did both sides of the aisle. The Republicans were very upset, and, of course, many of the Democrats were upset that Representative Kifowit went in that direction. It stalled some of the good work that I think we were about to do, and I hope we get back on track again.
Public record voted to be expunged, 110-0 in votes. Kifowitz saying he wanted to, Peter Breen from Lombard, wanted to pump Legionnaire's disease into the Breen family water supply.
Yeah, that expungement has upset a few people. And if I could, just let me explain a little bit, because they said, well, why did Republicans vote for the expungement? I asked that same question in caucus because, actually, I think it was Grant Worley, from the Republican side, that filed the first resolution for expungement. You would think, you know, you wouldn't want that out of the record. You'd want people to know that someone had said something so heinous. But the fact is, it stays in the record. But now there's a record that it sounds crazy, but there's a record now that it's expunged, but it actually still stays in there. So it really is. It falls short of the seriousness of, like, if you censured someone, but it's done so infrequently that there's quite a message that's sent. It basically says that what was said was so bad that it doesn't rise to the level of the seriousness of what we do in the legislature. So it's saying this is bad, what was said, and we're not going to acknowledge that it's there, but it is still there. So for those that think it's totally wiped off the record, it is not.
By the way, Kifowitz is a Democrat and Breen is a Republican.
Yes, and Representative Kifowitz was angry about the bill, actually, that was being debated was Senate Bill 2481, and it changed the Court of Claims award from a top end of $100,000 to $2 million. and it was generated because of the deaths at the Quincy Veterans Home. There was a whole lot more in that bill than just the Quincy Veterans Home. But, you know, Representative Kifelwit is very passionate. She's a former Marine, and she was passionate about it, but she took it in way the wrong direction. And certainly, you know, we can get angry with each other, but threatening someone's life or the life of their family is way out of line. And then the following day, of course, Representative Kifelwit did apologize, and that apology was accepted by Representative Breen.
You know, when it comes to this, one of the issues, immigration, if you are an illegal immigrant, you help police. When it involves a crime, then the police help you fill out the paperwork and expedite it. I still, once again, it comes out that somehow when you're illegal that you get preferential treatment is the way I take away. That's my takeaway. You know, we've got to do something to help you. Right? So it's not just me.
No, I feel the same way. I voted no on that bill. And I understand, you know, we want people to come forward when they see something that's wrong. I don't think we see as much maybe as what they see in Chicago in an instance where someone is an illegal immigrant and they witness a crime, but they don't want to go forward because they're afraid they're going to be deported. Well, you know, many down here would say, but you should be deported. On the other hand, if you live in an area where there's a huge crime rate and it's in an immigrant community, you want them to come forward. But we have to fix this whole immigration issue, and it's going to have to be done at a federal level instead of piecemealing state by state.
And I hear this. It was interesting because I ran into a woman from China not long ago, and she was pretty upset by this. She came here legally. It took her years to do so. I've met actually two in recent months. Another was an employee at the hospital, and lovely woman who I was involved with some of my health care, and I had some time to talk to her about it. And she was upset that people get preferential treatment when she works so hard.
I'm sorry. One of my best friends is Nicaraguan. She had they fled as political asylees, had to wait in Mexico for 7 years to get into the United States, and then only got in because Senator Paul Simon helped them get here. But, you know, while they were in Mexico, they were not allowed to work. In fact, she showed me one time her passport and visa from the time in Mexico, and the rules stated then, because she was a woman, she could not work. It was expected for her to stay home and take care of her children. So, you know, we got to fix this problem, but it has to be fixed at a federal level.
What else happened in the fall veto session, especially on the House end? Because the Senate had this flurry of activity in their week, and then the House dealt with what the Senate had passed along. One item in particular, I understand, and I saw something from Senator Schimpf about the Southwest Connector not needing gubernatorial approval to move forward there. That was one that interested me.
Mm-hmm. So there were a couple. I'm going to mention three in particular. So SJR 54 is the Southwest Connector resolution. It doesn't need governor approval because it's a resolution that puts together a task force. So this task force will be put together to, I hope, to complete the study. There's a little bit of argument between locals and IDOT whether or not the connector is necessary. You know, it's almost, you know, which comes first, the chicken or the egg. You know that you need economic development. You have to have the roads in order to do that, but they won't put the roads in unless they're busy enough to warrant it. Well, you can't get the busyness unless the roads are there so the businesses will go in. I believe it's more like build the roads and they will come, but that's not really the way that IDOT thinks about it. So this will help us to move that forward. The other really good thing was Hardin County Work Camp. I had a bill for the Hardin County Work Camp, wasn't getting moved. I agreed to sign that over to Representative Finney, and so it got moved, and both passed in both the House and the Senate. We'll just wait for the governor to sign it. Hardin County Work Camp will be sold to Hardin County for $1, so they can put a detention center there for the county level. And then one really important one I'll make sure we get to before we run out of time, and that was Senate Bill 1469. It was a cleanup bill for critical access hospitals. Last year, we passed a bill that changes how Medicaid reimbursement is done. There was a glitch in that bill, and because of it, all of our critical care hospitals did not receive the funds that they were supposed to get. And that's, some of it is federal matching money. This bill fixed that. And we have most of all of our rural hospitals are critical care access hospitals. And it's been devastating to them to not receive these funds. So
well, I'm curious. I got to be honest with you, Terry. I'm a little surprised because I do a lot of homework. And I'm surprised that until you just told me that, I didn't know a word about it.
Yeah. When we passed the bill last year, we were given a chart that showed how much each hospital was supposed to get. And then because of the way it was written, it was interpreted differently. And so a lot of really large hospitals got more money than they were supposed to, and the critical care hospitals did not get what they were supposed to. Now, we don't think that there's a mechanism to claw that money back, but we've got to fix it going forward, or we're going to have some serious problems down here for hospitals.
And that's federal and state dollars.
It is, yes.
What about Walker's Bluff? Any movement there? I knew there was a legislative kind of a meeting, breakfast, or something along that line. Any movement on the House or Senate floor worthy of note when it comes to Walker's Bluff gambling expansion?
Well, it's a mega bill, and it is really controlled right now. I know people are sick of hearing this, but it's controlled right now by the Speaker. No matter how much he wants to put that off on someone else, it's up to him to call the bill. And right now, the bill includes 5 new casinos for the state. And I'm committed to supporting Walker's Bluff, as are the entire Southern Illinois contingency. But it really, honestly, Tom, the bill doesn't depend on Walker's Bluff. It depends on the Speaker working out with whoever is the new mayor of Chicago, whether or not Chicago gets to new casinos. And from the southern end, we basically have told them, if you don't include Walker's, or Marion is basically what would be included, if you don't include Marion, which would allow Walker's Bluff to get their casino, you won't get any votes from the Southern Illinois contingency, and they need those. So we're fighting really hard to make sure that Walker's Bluff stays in that. The unfortunate thing is, we'd love it if Walker's Bluff was a standalone bill, but that will never happen.
Right.
So we have to just keep fighting to make sure that the bill gets called and that that Williamson County remains in the bill.
And really, when it gets down to this, when you want something, well, you've got to give me something. I mean, this is literally the heart of Illinois politics. Until we get what we want, nothing for you. I mean, no soup for you is what I hear.
Yeah, that's kind of, as much as frustrating as it is, really a democracy is set up to be that way. We have the greatest government in the entire world. It was designed to move slowly so you can get rid of bad stuff. But it's also designed to make sure majority rules. And in this case, you know, I'm in a super minority now, so I obviously have to work with the Democrat side. But the Democrat side also has to work with us, and North has to work with South, and South with North. We got to do some stuff, something about our roads and our bridges. And we are now basically because of population leaving, we're really hurting down here. So we're going to have to work with some of our Chicago counterparts to make sure that we get road money for Southern Illinois. Mm. And I think you're going to see all of us come together and do that.
I was talking to a couple of people kind of doing my, we'll call it, it's not an exact science, but at least I get a feel from whenever I talk to people, and I talk to them about legal gambling, all right, expansion to help pay the bills, and recreational marijuana. And the indifference to it is, I don't know that I'll call it surprising, and maybe indifference is not the right word, because the idea being from the people I've talked to, it won't make any difference. They say they'll use it to pay off the bills, but they won't. They probably already have it spent. So why do it? Because we'll not pay the bills with it. Our bills, you know, we had a tax increase. Our bills aren't going down. We're over our budget.
I really disagree with you, but we've gone from $16.5 billion down to about $7 billion, $7.5 billion, depending on what day you're looking at that. So we have paid those down, and we were accruing $20 million a day in interest. And that accrual is coming down. You're also going to see, I hope, a decrease in the pension debt as we move forward. You know, something that didn't get talked about a lot in this last budget was an ability for state employees to opt out of Tier 1 or to be bought out completely. And we expected for 20%, we hoped, that 20% of state employees would take advantage of that. We're already up to 17% right now. So we're gonna see a reduction in Tier 1 employees very soon, and that's what's killing us, is that 3% compounded TOLA. So, sorry, I really don't mean to disagree with you, but I have hope for us if we don't spend with this new 101st General Assembly. If we can, if we go back to constantly spending, increasing programs or creating new ones, then we're in big trouble. But if we continue to walk down a road of fixing, then maybe there's hope for us.
But we borrowed to pay off those back bills.
Well, but we borrowed at lower rates. So just like you would borrow at home, if you have a credit card bill that's 21% and you're able to get one that's 5%, even if you use the 5% to pay off the 21%, you're decreasing your future debt. So it has to be incremental, because no one here has the stomach to do what really has to be done, and that is to start cutting programs. And we see what happens. Southern Illinois gets the brunt of that damage, because they don't feel it very much up north. We get it.
But when you borrow money, you still owe it.
Oh, yeah.
I get the lower interest rate.
Hopefully you owe it at a lesser interest rate.
At lower interest rate. But where, when you borrow billions of dollars, which is the case here, what column does that go in? Because I don't see it in the debt. I don't see it on the back bills. But we still, in fact, owe billions of dollars that we bought. Then we say, okay, well, now it's not $16 billion anymore. It's $7
billion. Yeah.
But we still owe the money.
I know. I understand. I'm frustrated, too, just as you are. But, again, we can get in this mess overnight, and we're not going to get out of it overnight. So we're going to have to take incrementally what we can get, especially with the fact that we now have a supermajority of spenders.
Right. We borrowed $6 billion. So, Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant. So, what is it, January 9th, I believe it is, when we have the inauguration for the new governor?
The General Assembly is inaugurated on the 9th. I'm not sure I'll repeat
then it
this
must
right,
be the,
but I guess our...
It must be the 9th when you're, the new class inaugurated, and then I think the 13th for the governor.
For the governor, yeah. So there's like 5 days that actually Governor Rauner will be the governor under the 101st General Assembly. So it's just the way our Constitution is worded. It's a little weird. I know it's happened in the past, but I haven't been a part of it. But I'm excited to go up there on the 9th and get sworn in again and get to work for Southern Illinois.
Yeah, because there are many things that need to be dealt with, and there's no doubt about that. And I can't help but think, with the Democrats in control, the executive mansion, all state offices, supermajority in both parties, that if somebody wants something done and they're a Democrat like the governor, it's going to get done.
Well, yeah, in theory. But again, a lot of people find out when they get there. It's not all about you. You do have to get there, and you do have to work with people. And we're going to have to fight like crazy to make sure that the spending doesn't get out of control like it did. The new governor has promised $10 billion of new spending. There isn't any money to do that. So
And when I spoke to J.B. Pritzker, he says he hasn't. He has not. He put me point blank. I asked, $10.8 billion in new spending. That's not true.
Then I'm a little worried about his thinking, because he clearly promised it, and now he's got to try to figure out how to pay for it or not fulfill his promises.
Right.
And I hope he doesn't fulfill his promises.
Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant. Terry, as always, I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me today.
841.